Welcome to Political Talk. It's Entertainment Talks podcast for talking politics. I'm your host, Matthew, and today we're here to talk about two different stories. One is how there's been arrests made for the pro-Palestinian marches in the UK, because you cannot be against what's happening to Palestine, apparently, in the UK. And on the other side is a court order that's come in for something called the Bell Hotel, which was housing asylum seekers. I believe this is somewhere in the UK, in Epping. It's an area I've never actually heard of before, but okay, so we'll start off with the Palestine thing first of all. It's a bit of a long train of sequence of events here, and some interesting irony from the UK government particularly. So let's see if we can understand this together, shall we? Let's try and break this down together. So Israel is attacking Palestine slash Gaza. I say attacking, Gaza's like, what, pretty much destroyed by this point, and is killing Palestinian civilians. And then you've got Hamas, which is a resistance group for Palestine and for Gaza, who are fighting back against Israel, and both sides have got hostages from both sides. Now, some people in the UK seem, or the US or the world, seem to think that if Hamas simply hands the hostages back, that Israel will magically stop killing Palestinians. Bear in mind that the entire time, at least since this, you know, the modern version of this kicked off, Israel has been bombing Gaza, then bombing the hospitals that the injured have arrived at, turning off Gaza's water supply at different points, and now, and I mean, this was probably happening slowly, but has now resorted to starving Palestinians by blocking certain points where aid is attempted to be given to the Palestinian civilians. So that's what Israel is doing, and Hamas is simply trying to fight back against that by obviously going to, if we're going to call it war, against Israel, because there needs to be something fighting back against Israel. So what has the UK decided to do in response to this? The UK has decided, A, to use, I assume, taxpayers' money, because I don't know where else the money would come from, taxpayers' money to help fund Israel's attack of Palestine, Israel's genocide of Palestine, in which I think the last number I heard was 60,000 casualties. It's probably gone way past that since then. It's probably something like 70 or 80, but I'm just letting you know that 60,000 was the last number I heard, but even that was about 6 weeks ago or so, so it's probably higher than that, especially given the further progress Israel has made with starving Palestinian children, which we've seen on TV. But something which is literally illegal now in the UK, I don't know about other countries, something which is literally illegal now in the UK is you cannot join a pro-Palestinian march and chant that you want these people to stop being murdered, because that is considered an act of terrorism. And the number that I saw floating around, and now maybe it's changed, maybe it's different, is up to 14 years in prison, which I think you get less than that for murdering somebody in this country, depending on exactly, I don't know, it's different types of murder, isn't there, so you get different sentences for different murders, but I think you can go to prison for less time in the UK for murdering somebody. So yeah, and there's what's interesting about that is there's all this discussion in the at the moment in the UK and in US about how we are blocking people from expressing free speech. Now, to me, if you as an individual and you join up with a group of people that have an issue with something, let's say an issue with something government related, like a certain Bill of Rights or anything that could be classed as, you know, political that you could argue against the government for, something to do with schools, anything like that, that you can make a bunch of signs, march through the streets of wherever you are peacefully, and chant that you want a something of something to happen. But in my opinion, as long as you do that peacefully and you're not doing things like smashing up cars, hurting police, resisting arrest, all that kind of stuff, I've got no problem with that, which is, as far as I can see, is what these people are doing. So essentially, in the UK, you can be, again, I don't know if 14 years is the correct number, that's just the number I saw floating around, so I can't say that that's the correct number. You can get in trouble and you can get arrested for simply basically saying that you want Palestinian children to stop being, or not just children, innocent Palestinian civilians to stop being murdered. You can get arrested for doing that now in the UK, which there were videos in the news of people getting arrested for exactly that. Now, for those of you outside of this news feed thing, or those of you who might not live in the UK and you might not be as aware of this, and you're thinking, okay, what are the reasons for that? I can see two particular reasons for that. Neither of them are correct or justified reasons, in my opinion. So the first of which, again, is the fact that the UK is in bed with Israel, hypothetically, or metaphorically rather, not hypothetically. The UK is metaphorically in bed with Israel because we are funding Israel's genocide of Palestine. The second reason, and this seems to be a weird sense of confusion from people, which is that if you say that you are pro-Palestine and you want to say free Palestine and all that sort of, or you know, something similar to that, that you are then saying that you're okay with Hamas murdering people. Because some people out there, for reasons I actually don't understand, connect the two together, that okay, if you see a child on the TV, or you know, a family on the TV and they're being starved or shot or they're dead or their house has been exploded in, you know, Palestine, Gaza, whatever, if you see that and you go, that's not right, I don't like that, which is something that you should do, because that's not right, it's not right for that to happen to anybody, that the group who is the resistance group for that, which is called Hamas, which yes, Hamas have killed people and they've taken hostages, but so have Israel as well, but Israel have done it about 10 times worse than what Hamas has, that for, again, for reasons I can't quite understand, because usually I try and dig deep into like the mindset of these people and try to figure out what's in there, because I find it curious to do that. Part of me, when it comes to a politician saying that, it does make me believe that, okay, because you are firmly and for some reason comfortably, metaphorically in bed with Israel, that if someone says to a politician, why are you not okay with someone saying free Palestine, is because they have to conflate that as you supporting Hamas. Now, I don't support Hamas because they have murdered people and they shouldn't have done that. There's reasons why they did do that. Are those reasons correct? That's the morally interesting part of it. But if you want to look at Hamas and say, oh, they shouldn't have killed people, well, should Israel have killed people? It's the chicken and egg thing, not to use Last of Us as an example, but it's, because I'm just remembering that Isaac scene of, okay, you kill people, then you kill people, then you did it, then you did it, then you did it, then you did it. It, you know, okay, they're both essentially pointing at each other, going, no, you stop doing it. And there's got to be, someone's got to, like, stand in the middle and go, both of you just need to stop. It doesn't matter at this point, because this has been going on for so long. It doesn't matter at this point who started it. Because that's like a high school thing, right? Like, oh, he poked me first. Oh, he pinched my nose first. No, she pulled my hair first. Don't care who started it. Both of you just stop. Anyway, but for anyone who isn't a politician and who doesn't have their head up their own arse, I didn't know what better phrase to use there. Why is it that if someone says, okay, I'm going to join this protest, this march, this peaceful march of people that aren't smashing stuff up, breaking things, looting things, causing, you know, hooliganism, as we call it over here, and simply saying, this group of people is being murdered, I would like that to stop. That you then go, right, that means that you support a connected but different group of people called Hamas, which is killing people. I want Hamas to stop killing people as well. I would like Israel to stop killing people. I would like Israel and Hamas to both give back the hostages, stop shooting each other, and call it a day. But it's not that simple, is it? It's just not that simple. But so that gets back to my previous argument of there's a lot of moaning in the UK at the moment about, like, I mean, and in US as well, about free speech. But you either have everybody do free speech or nobody do free speech, because otherwise it doesn't work, does it? Otherwise it starts to quickly, you know, fall apart. And if you're not allowed to go into the street or anywhere and say, I want this group of people to stop being murdered because it's not nice and it's not fair, you're then labelled as a terrorist and a Hamas supporter, and that you should be arrested for that. That's not free speech then, is it? It's funny to me that, because there's two conflicting sides of things as well with the, I think her name is Lucy O'Connell. Now, for those of you who don't remember, last year, and this gets into the hotel stuff that we'll talk about in a minute, Lucy O'Connell O'Connell tweeted, I believe it was last year, that there was information that a group of Muslim, we don't know if they were or weren't actually Muslim, I don't know what the actual answer to that point was, that there was a bunch of Muslim asylum seekers in a hotel, and she encouraged people to go and burn that hotel down, which isn't directly attempted murder, because she wasn't the one throwing the Molotovs and things like that, but you're encouraging somebody to go and commit murder, because if you're burning a building, I don't care what size it is, if you're burning a building that has got somebody in it who is innocent, that in my eyes is attempted murder. Because, okay, if you're throwing something which you're intending, okay, this building to burn, and the people inside it to be damaged from that, which they will be, how else would you describe that? So, while she wasn't, you know, doing attempted murder, because she was the one just doing hurtly words or whatever, was encouraging people to do that. But people are okay with that because she deleted it and apologized. Whereas on the other hand, if you're just simply going through the street saying, I want this group of people to stop being murdered, that's seen as a terrorist offense. I think one of those examples is far more dangerous than the other, because one example is encouraging people to not be attacked, and one of them is encouraging people to be attacked. But apparently, according to people on the right side, and not by right, I don't mean correct, on the right side, it was just her using free speech, and her, you know, she's now a political prisoner, as they like to call her. But if you say that you want a group of people to stop being murdered, makes you a terrorist. We've really started throwing that word around too much, by the way, as well, of what a terrorist act actually is. It's interesting to me. Very, very interesting to me. Anyway, let's take a break, and we'll come back and talk about this hotel situation. I guess I could have used the segue there, because I did talk about hotels with Lucy O'Connell, but let's take a break and come back. Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcast that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps, and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. All right, back with the second half. So there is a hotel called the Bell Hotel, which is in Epping, I think is how you say that name. I think this today or yesterday, whenever it was the first time I'd heard of that location. So I think it's Epping. So there was a court temporary. It says a court temporarily banned arrivals at Epping Asylum Hotel. Now, there's a lot of conflicting information out there, as there always is, because there's always misinformation when it comes to this stuff, because people like to spread false information, about these things to deliberately confuse people, or to make them attempt to burn down hotels with living, innocent people inside. So there's a lot of complaining at the moment in this country about, and there's a lot of assumptions that are going into this as well. Is that people are arriving on boats, they're being given free meals in a hotel and a comfy bed, and are just allowed to just do that as if it's, that's, you know, what it is, and they're being given benefits and things like that. Just to answer one thing, by the way, because I've seen, not to call him out by name, but I am going to do it, Rupert Lowe has, both him and other people as well, have been doing a lot of false reporting about particularly Universal Credit in the UK. You cannot claim Universal Credit in the UK unless you have a national insurance number, which if you're arriving on a boat, you're not going to have a national insurance number, are you? So therefore, you cannot make that claim unless you get your visa and or your national insurance number, as well as other information. You cannot do that if you're an illegal person. I don't like to describe these people as illegal, but that's how they're described, so just to clear that up as well. And when somebody also says, maybe or maybe not, also Rupert Lowe claims that £1 billion in the first 6 months of 2025 have been spent on interpreters for like job center clients, there's no way that that number is anywhere near accurate at all. That's another lie. There's no possible way that £1 billion in 6 months has been spent on like interpreters and stuff. And I'll just say that I have more first-hand experience with that than what he and other people do. Again, all this is just to be like, hey, look how much has been spent on these people, even though not all the reporting, but most of it's just not true. It's just wildly inflated numbers. Anyway, that's the assumption at the moment, is that these people come over here, they get an easy life, they get put up in these hotels, they get fed free meals, they get, you know, a phone and Wi-Fi, and they get, you know, sponge bath and all this kind of stuff. Obviously exaggerating with the last point there. This is the way that I look at this. Okay, you've got somebody coming over from a country who has had to flee for their lives in a dinghy, I believe they're called, or a boat or a dinghy or whatever, to arrive in a different country, one where they may not get blown up at any particular random moment, one of which also being Gaza, which we are paying a different country to bomb, and you can see how all that lines up. Okay, so if these people are coming over on boats and they're being collected and put into this hotel, what do people in this country think an asylum system is? Because the way I look at an asylum system, and I just talked about The Handmaid's Tale, by the way, which has got some of those similar, you know, like refugee camps and all that sort of thing. What do people think an asylum system is? Because an asylum system to me is when someone flees a country and they arrive here and they're seeking asylum in this country. They're seeking to live a proper life, and by proper life I mean, you know, pay their way, work their way in this country, and hopefully eventually live as a, you know, legal person with a visa and, you know, all that sort of thing. In the same way that people over here who are born here still do, they just do it by arriving from a different country. Now the argument as to, okay, should they be put in hotels? That's the only fair point I would give, is like, okay, should they be put in these hotels? Maybe, maybe not. But the other argument is like, okay, they should be put into tents, but then people moan that they're being put into tents because it takes taxpayers' money. Just to also state this as well, I feel like a lot of these points I make are quite obvious, but people don't seem to understand certain things. Is, okay, let's say you're somebody who's working full-time and you're struggling, and you would somewhat understandably look at this and go, okay, why are they being put in for free in these hotels? You've got to remember that it's not a case of, okay, because somebody who's come over here on a boat, who, by the way, has nothing, they have less than you, just to point that out when they get here. That's why they've fled for their lives, because they've had to, because they've probably come from a war-torn country, maybe somewhere like a Palestine or a Gaza type place, and they've had no other choice. So just keep that in mind as well. I'll get to a particular point in a minute. I just feel like I'm trying to explain something. This is the cookie meme all over again. I don't know if some of you have seen that. It's basically, there's these three people sitting around the table. One of them is a black guy. One of them's a white guy in like a suit. And one of them is a white guy who's got like overalls on, like, you know, the working class looking man. And the guy in the suit, who looks like, you know, the government person, the person in the suit, the person who's well off, has got five or six cookies on their plate. The working class white man in this picture has got, like, I think it's one or two cookies. And the black man in this case, who I guess is looked at as, like, you know, the immigrant, the foreigner, you know, the person who's going to come over and steal everything, is sort of looking down at their plate. And the government-looking person says to the white person something along the lines of, like, be careful, mate, that foreigner's going to take your cookie, even though out of the three plates, the well-off government-looking person has got more cookies than anybody else, but he's not willing to share more between the three of them, which is what should be happening in the real world. So the next time you hear that, okay, someone's come over from a boat, and they've been put in a hotel, and what they get given, by the way, is, I think, £50 a week. That's what I've heard. They don't get given universal credit or, like, benefits just off the bounce. It's interesting, by the way, that some people think, like, oh, they're coming over here, they're going to claim all the benefits and take all of your jobs. That's not how that works at all. You can't claim all the benefits and take all the jobs. Even the government at that point would step in and be like, nah, you're getting too much of these benefits, we're going to cut those down because you're earning too much, because that's also how that works. Again, trust me on that front. That is somehow, like, taking away from you, the British-born working-class person. That's not how that works either. Just because somebody else is being given something, it doesn't mean that you're having something taken away from you. Because ultimately, the aim of this at the end of the day is to create a culture war, because when you have the well-off politicians and government people who are really, really comfortable, being paid a really helpful, you know, healthy wage, comfortable, nice earning, you know, living and all that sort of thing, they're looking at the two people fighting against each other, the working class people, as you would call them, and the, you know, asylum seeker, immigrant type of person, and going, right, what we want them to do is to fight each other and think that they're taking away from each other. Whereas at the end of the day, we're the ones taking away from the two of them, because we could give more of them what we've got. But they didn't want to do that because they're greedy. So yeah, it's interesting that that's how this has all ended up, in the way of these people are going outside these hotels and protesting and saying, right, we want So I've talked about all that, right? So let me talk about what is it these people are actually protesting for? What do they think they're protesting for, and what are they actually protesting for? What they think is going on is a bunch of people have been put into these hotels, which is correct, and for reasons that they've been brainwashed by, are being led to believe that, okay, these people who are innocent coming into this country, who they have no idea about, and of course there's things assumed, like, oh, we're going to assume that they're Muslim because there's Muslim hate, we're going to assume that they're, you know, Asian or foreign in some sort of way, because that's what they have to led to believe, right? That they're being put in these hotels, which is, to me, that's what the UK is just doing as it's, that's the UK's asylum system, which is bring these people, well, not bring them over, they come over on their boats because they're fleeing from war-torn countries, and in order for them to have an asylum system, they're being put in hotels. That's what the government has chosen to do, is to put them into hotels. Whether you think it should be tents, houses, hotels, I don't really think that makes a ton of difference, but anyway. But if you're living in the local area from this hotel, which these people in Epping heard about, the Bell Hotel, went up to it and protested that they want these people kicked out, even though these people who are living in this area are seemingly not aware that, okay, these people haven't come in and have you been told to pay for their stay? No, you haven't. Have you been told that they are dangerous criminals? You have no idea who these people are. And that leads me on to, this was a while ago, but I remember Keir Starmer, of course our current Prime Minister, was talking about, you know, boats and asylum seekers and hotels and all these sorts of things. And one comment that he made was, we don't want to become an island of strangers. Now, I don't live near Epping. I actually don't know where that is, as you can tell. Now, if you were to tell me to go to Epping and just, you know, look around or whatever, and let's say two people walked into the street. Let's say one of them was somebody who lived in the local area, and one of them was from this hotel. It was one of the people that's an asylum seeker, and their hotel. Let's say we're walking in different directions or whatever, and the three of us will walk past each other. So you then have me, who's somebody who's not from Epping or whatever it's called, and is visiting the area. One of which who is living in a hotel for asylum seeker reasons, and one of which who is a, you know, local person living their life. All three of us are strangers towards each other. I don't know what the person's name. The only thing I would know about them is their description and what they're wearing. I wouldn't know what job they do. I wouldn't know if one of them is or isn't in the hotel, or if they're both from the hotels, or if both of them could be visiting like I am for various reasons. Maybe one of them is a criminal that is appearing in court soon. Maybe one of them is totally innocent like me. Maybe one of them has committed a crime but hasn't been found out yet. Maybe one of them is religious. Maybe they think I'm religious. There's so much that you can, for three, so me, a local person, and then somebody in an asylum seeking hotel, the three of us have no idea who each other is. So this idea that, okay, we could become an island of strangers. Well, if I leave this house right now and I walk a couple of blocks down the street and I knock at some random person's house, I have no idea what the person's going to look like, what their name is, when they started living there, what their job is, what their religion is, what football team they support. That person's a stranger to me. So if I'm to do that and knock at some random, let's say I open Google Maps, pick a house within 5 miles of me, just some random house within 5 miles of me, I knock at the door, I don't know who's going to be, what, you know, who the person's going to be, and they won't know who I am either, so we are strangers to each other. Now, the exact same logic can be applied in terms of these people who are coming over here on boats and living in these hotels. Of course, they're all strangers towards us. Some of those people on those boats might be strangers to each other. They might not all know why they're on there, or if they've escaped from the same place, or because they don't, do they? They might not know each other either. So this idea that we might suddenly become an island of strangers specifically because of these boat people is not correct. Heck, there's even people at work In the school that I clean at, because the school split off in like a Y shape, there's people down the other end of the school who I've never met, never talked to, don't know their names, don't know what type of classroom they work in, don't know their age, don't know their religion, what football team they support. So even within the same building of people that I work in, because I don't have to know every single person that works there, there's like, you know, a dozen different teachers, and they're all from like different areas, and I go to the same area to clean. So I don't know who they're going to be. Heck, even when I go back in September in a couple of weeks and I start working again, there's going to be new teachers there, there's going to be teachers that have moved from different classrooms who I've never seen before. Don't know their names, don't know their ages, don't know their backgrounds, don't know their religions. So it is almost the same thing as meeting someone on a boat, because I don't know who that person is either. And again, this random teacher who I may see at the school, maybe they killed somebody the day before and nobody knows it yet. It, you know what I mean? It's the same, it's kind of the same concept. It just, for these people protesting, going, right, we want these people kicked out of these hotels. Well, what's the specific reason? Is it just because they're boat people that you don't know who they are, and they're being, you're upset that they're being put in an asylum seeking system, where they're trying to wait for their visa and then hopefully start work soon or to get out of the hotel? Because this is the other thing I don't understand. Let's say you're from one of these war-torn countries, and you'd probably be aware by now that, okay, the UK doesn't really want you, the US doesn't really want you, because they assume that you're a criminal, even though you might not have done something wrong. Now, you've got essentially two options, which is you either stay in this war-torn country, which at any moment you could get shot, blown up, you could get starved, if you're in, you know, I guess Gaza, or maybe that's happening in different places, you're in a very, very bad situation where you could die in the next minute, because a bomb could drop on you at some point. So you've got two options, which is stay there, and I guess you could fight for your life, but how much fighting can you really do? Or get on a boat and try your luck in a different country. Not great. In a country where, for assumed reasons, people don't really want you, because they'll assume that you'll take things from them and or try to kill them based on reasons. Now I get it, okay, not all of these people are innocent. Some of these boat people have come over here and they have caused harm and they have hurt people. But people do that here as well. And neither of them are in the right, are they? They're both, like, because some of you might be thinking, okay, if you have somebody who's born over here, commits murder, they should be punished. If you've got somebody who comes over here, quote-unquote illegally, and comes over here and kills somebody, it should be punished. There shouldn't be different kind of, because alright, you can make the argument like, oh, they should never been let in the country and whatever else, but as adolescence teaches us, the Netflix show, it can be your local lad that does it. You know what I mean? It's not sort of, again, you can make the argument of like, oh, you don't want a boat of strangers, and they're strangers to all of us, because none of us know who these people are. But I already went through the whole strangers thing. Okay, you don't want a boat full of people, strangers coming over here and causing harm, but you're assuming that they're going to cause harm. They might not. But then also, if you're walking through the street late at night or something, and you see a group of five random people, and they're a bit rowdy, maybe they're drinking, they're shouting and swearing, maybe they're just having a good time, maybe they're not going to cause you harm if they come across you, maybe they're not going to try and steal from you, but you don't know if they're, like, are they somebody who lives a mile away from you? So, it's almost looked at as like, oh, it's, is it better if local people commit crimes as opposed to boat people? You know what I mean? But while this is all happening, or while we're all pointing the finger at, you know, local people and boat people, let's call them, are pointing the finger at each other and going, right, no, I don't trust you, no, I don't trust you. All the people, I like to call them people in suits, you know, MPs, government people, they're pointing and laughing at all of us because they're going, right, we're sitting here comfortable, we're telling you lot to fight against each other because both of you are fighting over scraps, essentially, or whatever it is. That's all going on while we're all well paid, living comfortably in our houses. Nobody's threatening us because they don't think that we're the problem. Not that you should threaten MPs, because I'm not advocating for that. I'm not advocating for anybody to threaten anybody. I'm just saying. And they're sitting there laughing at all of us while we sit over here and go, right, we want these people to be removed. We want these people to be removed from a hotel, even though we have no idea who they are. If the hotel itself has even got asylum seekers in it, because it might not, or it might be a mix of them, yet apparently it's okay for somebody to say to a group of people, yeah, go and set that one on fire, even though it might have innocent people who are local in the hotel, because, again, misinformation and all that kind of stuff. Be careful who you vote for. Be careful who you vote for. Speaking of vote, I'll make this the last one as well, because I don't know how exhausting this is getting, and I'm getting exhausted talking about it, but I felt like I should. So there's been obviously the rise with, I've forgotten her name, but it's the person who's teaming up with Jeremy Corbyn. That is who I'll be voting for at the next election, assuming they're still around in 2020. Is it 2029? I think the next general election takes place. So at the moment, you've got Restore Britain, which is Rupert Lowe's. I'm not sure how much of a party that actually is, or if it's just, you know, a phishing Twitter account. You've got that party, who, interestingly, he split off from Nigel Farage over at Reform. Then you've got Conservatives hanging around doing something. Then you've got Labour, who's the one in charge. And then, I'll be totally honest, when it comes to something like the Lib Dems and Green Party, it doesn't feel like those two are ever going to win. Because I always look at, like, you know, polling results and those sorts of things, and they're so far away from everybody else. Like, they get a few hundred, maybe a thousand votes each, and the votes when it comes to, like, Reform and Conservatives and Labour and all that are in, like, the tens of thousands. It's like, how are they ever going to catch them? I don't understand. I know there's more things like, you know, local elections and that can change, obviously, local things, and there's all that going on. That's the reason that they're around. But when it comes to, like, the actual general election and the Prime Minister, you might as well not bother, because you're not going to win. So there's the Jeremy Corbyn one, which I think is supposed to be called Your Party. I don't think they've named the party yet, but I think it's called Your Party. And then you've got Restore Britain, and then you've got Reform, then you've got Labour, then you've got Conservatives. I think what's going to end up happening, and this is obviously, you know, 4 years away, it's still very early yet. I feel like Reform, Conservatives, and what's the other one? Restore Britain, they're all the right-wing parties. I feel like they're going to get in each other's way and split the vote. And then Labour, I do think, is going to significantly die off a bit more, because it feels like the left, right, middle, whatever one you are all fed up of Labour itself, and like Rachel Reeves and everything she's been saying, and obviously fed up with, what's it called? Keir Starmer. So I don't think they're going to be in there as much. I think it's going to come down to Your Party, so the one that Jeremy Corbyn's running. That's who I'll be voting for, because he's, out of all of them, he's the only one that's talking any sense and stands up for the same things that I stand up for, such as exposing the UK's complicity in Israel's genocide, among other things as well. He's the only one who's talking any sense. Conservatives, I feel like with Conservatives and Labour, who used to be like the main two, both of them are falling off. And I feel like when it comes to Reform, who are still more popular than Restore Britain. I feel like those two are going to get in the way of each other, because they're both going to try and promise the same thing. And then I feel like, because I kind of feel like, and maybe this is more hopeful thinking on my point, my part, if Labour falls off, which I feel like it will, Conservatives fall off, which I feel like they will, I feel like it's going to be a three-horse race between Restore, Reform, and your party, the Jeremy Corbyn one. And because people on the left, like me, aren't going to vote for Reform and aren't going to vote for Restore Britain, which is Rupert's low one, if they do end up running, or if they're just some Twitter thing, I feel like if those two get in the way of each other, obviously Conservatives and Labour are going to take, they're not going to get no points, they are going to get some. And then maybe on people on the left who seemingly only trust your party, they might sweep up the votes as a result of that. Because even if there is more people on the right in this country than the left voting, if that vote gets split, then that will help those two to not win. I don't know. It depends. It depends all that, how that goes. But I guess we'll find out in 4 years' time. So, anyway, that's pretty much all I've got to say. I've been talking for 42 minutes and I feel like I've made all my points. If there's anything in it, because obviously this is all very, you know, nitty gritty and complicated and, you know, people putting fingers at each other and all that sort of stuff. So if there's anything I said that you feel like I'm wrong about, or I don't understand, or something that you don't understand, or anything you disagree with or agree with or whatever, any of your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments, methodentertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalkUK, Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org for TV, games, films, Main Night podcasts. There'll be a Handmaid's Tale podcast, which interestingly ties in with obviously political stuff. A new gaming talk for tomorrow. Look out for that. We'll be talking about some of the Gamescom stuff. There was film reviews recently, Fantastic Four, Superman, Jurassic World, and coming soon will be a review of Weapons when I get around to seeing that. Breaking Bad podcast, we just wrapped up with season 3, the Restored podcast for those, season 3 episode 13. We should be resuming season 4 hopefully in the next couple of weeks. I need to talk to David about that. So yeah, if you want to support what we do over on entertainmenttalk.org, podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk, don't know what happens in my voice there, TV, games, films, Main Night podcast over on those places. If you want to support more of what we're doing, you can listen to more of our podcasts over on the places I've just mentioned. And if someone mentions a thing we've podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast with your options. Geek Time Radio as well, Tuesdays for your TV and your film news. And geektown.co.uk for the TV and film news posts throughout the week, so look for those as well. Yeah, Patreon, I think I mentioned that here already. And there's YouTube as well, Entertainment Talk Plays, for all of our video game stuff. Whew, thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.